The Bible reading for today is from Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, up to chapter 2, verse 10. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to you, to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of graceful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." And we're heading over to Stu now.
Can I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17 through the end of chapter 2. And can I encourage you to pray for leadership team who are meeting over the weekend to plan for 2022 and into the future. But for now, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, as we experience trauma and events that cause great fear, are we resting your steadfast faithfulness and unchanging salvation? And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why pray? We've talked about taking the gospel across the world and across the nation and across the road. But do your prayers get heard? Is our mission, is our faith, is our prayer futile? Does it seem like that to you? It's futile. My prayers are useless. My attempt to share Christ fails. My spirit is disheartened. It's futile. How is faith ignited? How can we get those across the road to take a serious look at Jesus? Well, together, we will look at Jonah's fishy faith to see if we can get any fruitful answers. Could Jonah really have anything to teach us? Could this reluctant prophet direct us to any fruitful faith? Well, the answer to that question is to watch Jonah go down into the depths before he can ever come up. Jonah will enact physically what must occur to all spiritually, including him, to begin genuine life. Well, what does that mean? Well, as we heard in the Bible reading, if you're able to decipher it, as Jonah falls into the depth, it's only the God of land and sea that could prevent him from drowning and save his life, putting air into his lungs. Well, let's unpack this chapter briefly together, which you can delve in further into during your DNAs in the coming week. What would break Jonah? He'd been given a directive from the Lord. Jonah, he received an instruction. He was given a command. And what had Jonah done in chapter 1? He ignored it. And it wasn't selective hearing, mind you. He heard what the Lord commanded. How do we know? Because he went in the opposite direction in chapter 1 and verse 3. And it wasn't only the Lord's command that Jonah wasn't going to listen to. Even the captain of the ship that Jonah put himself under commands Jonah to pray, to utter his words to his God. But Jonah's response, do you remember this, in chapter 1 and verse 6? Silence. Nothing. How is a hard-hearted soul like that broken? How do you get through to someone who is completely resistant? How do you have someone like Jonah listen? Well, God has to take them down. What do I mean? Is God going to tackle someone? Is he going to trip them? Is he going to knock the wind out of them? Is he going to knock them out? Well, often, yeah, kind of. It seems one of the most effective measures to wake people from a spiritual slumber or to turn them from a spiritual cliff that they are about to fall off is in the depth of the most extreme suffering that a miracle of salvation rises. How did God finally get Jonah, the reluctant prophet, to listen? Drown him. Am I for real? Yeah. You think I'm joking? Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, from deep in the realm of the dead. Jonah is expecting to die. As he descends down and down and down, as the water gets darker and darker and darker until verse 6, he believes he cannot go any further down to the roots of the mountain I sank down. Do you know the Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the ocean? You might have known that. It's the deepest location on Earth. It is 11,034 meters deep. Now, that's 2,184 meters longer than Mount Everest, if you get what I mean. Mount Everest, Mariana Trench. The trench in the ocean is deep. It is dark. And that is where Jonah is drowning. But as he drowns and dies physically, his soul and spirit is revived spiritually. Interestingly, some of Jonah's language in this prayer actually marks a rebirth. The distress of this moment in verse 1 uses the Hebrew language that mirrors childbirth. Even in verse 2, the realm of the dead is the womb of Sheol. Jonah chapter 2 marks Jonah's death. He knows he is as good as dead, but he may be reborn. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Jonah, our unwilling evangelist, as he is knocking at death's door, he finally utters a prayer. When Jonah is at his wit's end, he is in utter darkness. His body falls deeper and deeper into the waters. He is drowning. From that bottomless despair, he cries out and he asks the Lord to save him. Now, we began our time thinking about futile prayer. Prayers for those deep in idolatry around the world. Prayers for those who are mesmerized by materialism in our nation. Prayers for those who are relationally strained across the road. Our words, our utterings, our prayers, they just seem to go unheard and unnoticed and unanswered. But what, though, of this prayer? What about a person who prays who has given up? What about a person who in pride is broken, whose pride is actually broken? What about a person who is desperate and they know future is only devastation? What about prayers like that to the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land? Salvation. They will be saved instantaneously, immediately, suddenly. Their prayers will be answered. For over the last decade of ministry on the Northern Rivers, the mature adults that I've heard who have experienced the unbelievable news of salvation have been facing death. Helpless, hopeless, despondent. And a friend or family member has pleaded with them, letting them know salvation comes from the Lord. And from that deep darkness and despair, that person has cried out to the Lord for help. And what is the answer that God provides? He saves them. This is the moment that Jonah is experiencing. He is looking death in the face, and he is awoken from his spiritual slumber by the defibrillator at the depths of the sea. His faith is miraculously revived from its flatlining. Yet, as we'll see in the coming chapters, like so many of us, his faith is still very fragile. But something has happened as he sank. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land reached down and brought his life back from the pit. What are we to do when our prayers seem futile? Entrust ourselves to the faithful God in whom salvation is found. Nothing, it seemed, could have been done for Jonah's fishy faith. Doctrinally, what he believed in his mind was impeccable, perfect. Full marks in his theology exam from Jonah 1 and verse 9. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and the dry land. But in his heart, He would not let that truth from his mind drive his desires hard and the actions of his hands. What would move his heart and his hands? Well, it would be as seaweed is wrapped around his head and his body sank to the depth of the floor, that his flatlining faith could be revived. Interestingly, it seems humanly speaking, one of the only things that can stir people spiritually in our Western culture is to face death physically. Fascinatingly, that even matches secular thought in a landmark study by a non-Christian ethicist, Charles Taylor. He wrote a gigantic book called A Secular Age, and it's a history of the West's movement towards secularization. But in it, he notes, for secular Western culture, the lifestyle of good food, good homes, and good cars brings a good deal of satisfaction. It's heaven on earth. And yet, through each adult life in Western civilization, each person will experience moments that Charles calls they are haunted by the fact that there could be something out there, a spiritual world. And one of the fastest thought patterns towards that haunting experience is suffering, and often a near-death experience. Because good food and good homes and good cars don't really matter much when you're diagnosed with cancer. Now, our mind might wonder, am I advocating prayers for cancer? Certainly not. What I am advocating is a call to be a good friend and family member, a beacon of trust to those who are around you that do not know that salvation belongs to the Lord. The Australian evangelist Sam Chan encourages us to be your street's local chaplain, to be known in your workplace as someone who worships the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now, remember what Sam is saying. He's saying to be a chaplain. He's not saying be a know-it-all or a Pharisee or a meddler. No, a chaplain. And what are good chaplains known for? Well, they're known for their ability to listen and to provide support in the darkest days. How could you prepare for that time? Well, can I encourage you to get a copy of this book, Hope Beyond Cure? It's written by a man who experienced the darkest of days when he heard those words said of him, it's a tumour and it's incurable. I've had the privilege of getting to know Dave across 2021 as my mentor, and I've experienced firsthand his ability to listen and understand. But let me allow Stephen Larkham, a famous rugby union player, endorse the book. It's been more than 10 years since Dave became the Brumbies team chaplain. In my early years as a player, I didn't speak to Dave much. Religion wasn't something I needed in order to be a good player. I know now I was very naive. Not necessarily about the religion part, but about what Dave actually offered to the team. Since retiring from playing and becoming a coach, I've spoken to Dave more and more often. He sits in the background, not as a crazy stalker, but as a passionate supporter. He's a good listener and he's down to earth. Dave was admitted to hospital in the first week of December 2011, 1 week after my mum passed away. She'd been diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer just 6 weeks earlier and given no hope of cure. During those 6 weeks after her diagnosis, I battled a huge amount of anxiety and spent many sleepless nights. When I wasn't at the hospital, I spent all my time trying to find something that would fix mum. As I read Dave's book for the first time, I had to compose myself and dry my eyes on many occasions. I'd only ever seen cancer from one side, and I realised I wasn't looking for a fix for mum. I was looking for hope. I found hope in Dave's book and in Dave himself. Now, if you'd like a copy of Hope Beyond Cure from Matthias Media, please email office at scpc.org.au. and we'll organise a copy for you. Now, are your prayers for those across the road from you useless? Are they stupid? Are they futile? Now, they are prayers that are heard by your faithful God. So can I encourage you to be a good chaplain to your street? Cook for people in your street when they are sick. Help them in the garden when they're injured. And if one day they hear those words said of them, cancer, pray like crazy, that you would listen well, and that they might ask, how can I know hope? And that you would have committed this line from Jonah chapter 2 to memory, salvation comes from the Lord. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our dear Father, we do want to thank you that you're the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. We are sorry that we can be fooled into thinking the things you made, like food and shelter, are where contentment is found. Please help us to know that when the sun shines bright, you are God of all, and even in the darkest days, salvation and safety is found in your faithfulness. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.